This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
My worst f***ing nightmare. You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app, now on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan.
And big day for you, 34 today.
34 years old, all grown up.
That's not that big of a number, though.
It's really a nothing birthday.
No one
really celebrates 34. I think that would be unique if you actually treated a number like 34 as if it was a really big moment.
Dude, I'm telling you what. When I try to do something nice, get you the lasagna.
Well, Sean Levine just ate it like he was going to the electric chair.
Nah, but I'm thinking like 40, like a lasagna is $40 or something.
Mm-hmm.
$101 for that lasagna.
It's worth it, though. Every penny. It was a great lasagna.
Well, dude, you had one piece, and I had a piece in a little bit.
Well, you can't have more than one piece. I mean, that lasagna was...
We're full.
Yeah.
Like it really is.
$100?
Well, I hear you, but I guess, what were you expecting? $40? $50?
$40, I thought. I've never bought a lasagna before.
That was a full sheet, though. Like, that wasn't messing around. Like, you could have got a half sheet or whatever. Like, they probably would have had different sizes.
That's the kind of stuff you throw, like, an engagement party.
Right.
And that's the main dish. Everyone gets...
That feeds 50 people out.
Easily. Well, yeah, close to it. No, I mean...
20, she said.
20 people?
20 heifers.
But that was what I was going to say. Like, how many beasts are we talking?
Those portions you were cutting up, those were for three.
We had huge pieces.
Huge pieces.
I gave us a nice piece.
That was a healthy dose.
You're very liberal with your cutting.
There was a huge cut.
Which I was fine with. I appreciate you bringing it in.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Maybe I'll make my lasagna by the end of the month. Or are we done with lasagna?
No.
We had it today. We hit our quota.
I'm good.
Right before the draft.
Right before the draft.
We'll do a lasagna.
All right. I'll spice one back up.
Nice.
But thanks for bringing that in. Steph brought in cupcakes today. Those have mysteriously disappeared, too.
Wow.
Somehow food just disappears around here.
I think Sean Levine has a trap door in here.
I swear it's like Mission Impossible. He comes through that roof when we're talking.
Drops down, the cupcake in his yap, and away he goes.
And just a bead of sweat hits the floor right as he's moving back up into the ceiling.
Either way.
But we're happy to spread the wealth. So exactly. If you're at TSN, come on down. There's a half sheet of lasagna. But $50 worth of lasagna out there.
Easily.
Or 51, I guess, right?
Yeah.
All right, we've been talking a lot about the crowds in Nashville and the fact that Nashville has become the bachelorette capital of the United States.
Yes.
Man,
and
to be a young guy in that town playing for the Preds, you could have some
just
damage.
I don't know if this is a recent thing, though, because Scott Hartnell's on the line, and he left Nash Vegas in 06-07. That was his final year, so 10 years ago.
Still a great city back then. I had some times there. I'm telling you.
All right, let's bring him in. Now he's with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Here is Scott Hartnell. Scott, was it known as the bachelorette capital of the United States when you were still in Nashville?
Honestly, I can't remember one bachelorette party being in there those 7 years that I was there. But what a turnaround, I guess, the city's made. But it's totally grown. If you remember, like, there was maybe, you know, five or six tall buildings. Now there's condo buildings and all these restaurants and bars popping up, and it's just an incredible place to go for a long weekend. Any excuse to go there is a good excuse.
So it was a gritty town, though, when you first got there?
I wouldn't say gritty. It was just a place that if you wanted to listen to some great country music a Tuesday afternoon, you just go downtown and belly up and just hear, you know, the next up-and-comers player, and it's just a great place to chill. And now it's more of a, you know, kind of every night, kind of you can rock out or whatever. So it's just a when you get there, you just get a feeling of excitement that something's great is going on. You want to get out there, get on the town. It's just a cool town.
Scott, when you were there early on, obviously it seemed like it was the place to be as far as the country music singers. Everyone kind of, I don't want to say came out of the woodwork, but I remember playing against you guys, and it was the Dixie Chicks kicking around, and it was Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, and maybe there was a lull after a while, and now it's circled back. Is that the type of atmosphere that was that nightly, or was that kind of once a week, or how did you experience it when you were there?
Yeah, you get to, you know, meet all sorts of, you know, legends. I remember after our, I think it was my rookie year, we had our after the year party with Vince Gill and Amy Grant, and was on stage with Vince Gill singing a couple tunes of a big country guy growing up, you know, and Lloyd Minster and stuff. There was only one radio station that was country, and, you know, I was up there just kind of jamming with him, and it was, you know, that's a memory that I'll always have for a lifetime. But just great people, too. And it's one of those cities, too. It's not, you know, you see, you know, Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman at Starbucks. It's not like people are, let's take a selfie. You know, it's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And just kind of go on your business. So they let people be, and, you know, really really admirable quality of those people, just because, you know, in New York and you see someone famous, it's always like, oh, you got to get a picture. But it's pretty cool to be left alone, too.
What do you remember about the fan support? I played in Carolina for a lot of years, and there was a lot of nights where if it was a Tuesday and it was Ottawa in town, you're wondering if there's going to be 2,000 people in the building. Was it pretty much, like, was that ever a concern down there, or was it packed every night?
Well, I think maybe, you know, when Craig Leopold sold the team there in 07, 08, that was maybe a little bit of the, you know, wondering, I guess, if, you know, from the league's point of view, is can they sustain a great fan base? Can they take this team to the next level? And, you know, luckily that there's some great owners there now, so I've heard, that have totally turned, you know, the franchise around. Obviously, they're in the finals here this year, and, you know, great, looks like a great group of guys, you know, on and off the ice. But, yeah, it was, you know, some games were not great. And, you know, when you'd take a big slap shot, wind up on a 2-on-1 and you'd miss the net and, you know, make a loud noise going across, you know, on the glass, hitting the partitions, and they'd cheer for that. It was like, ooh, no, you're supposed to only cheer when you score a goal.
Right.
So, they've come a long ways. I'll tell you that much in just learning the game and you know, knowing what to look for. They had the 2-2 whistles when Jordan 2-2 was there. Every time he'd get on the ice, they'd have these big loud whistles that, you know, he'd get his freight train going and running over people. So it's just lots of gimmicks, I guess, to get people there. And now it's just electric there on a Tuesday night. You know, Columbus is in town. It's a great place to watch hockey.
With Scott Hartnell from the Columbus Blue Jackets, spent 6 years in Nashville to kick off his career.
See if he would ever go on one of those things you talked about, the
bicycle bars?
The bicycle bars. Have you seen those, Scott? Would you be caught dead on one of those?
No, maybe after hockey. I got to lose some weight probably sometime when I'm done playing. But it was funny. We were there last year, and I think me and Nick Foligno were walking from the rink to the Omni Hotel right there. And, you know, one of them goes by, and it was a group of guys, bachelor party down there from Philadelphia, and they're like, Scotty, Scotty, and all of them was like, yeah, Scotty, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, this is crazy. So it sounds like a good time when you got a bunch of boys on it or whatever. So
I'm shocked that there were men on that. I've never seen men on it. Every bachelor on
I'm
Earth
telling you, I would go on it. I would. I'd
I'm
be fine.
Chicago, we're going on one.
When we go to Chicago for the draft, right down Michigan Avenue. Does the name Dennis K. Morgan ring a bell to you?
Dennis Morgan.
The anthem singer in Nashville? Have you heard about this guy?
Well, yeah, I've read a little bit about it this playoffs, but...
Yeah, he wasn't a household name.
Do you think he should be singing the anthem for Game 6, or would you stick with the country superstars?
I'd go with, keep going with what's working. I'm not a superstitious guy, but when, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, you know. It's keep riding. I'm not sure who's going to be the next one, but it'll be pretty cool. And I think everyone, that's the whole kind of aura of the games right now. It's almost like who cares who's starting the lineup, who's going to sing the anthem, right? So you got to keep up with that.
Yeah, you got an all-star lineup rolling out there. Let's talk about your organization and your coach being nominated for the Jack Adams. Did you see that coming, and how good was that this year?
Well, I think just the turnaround from, you know, 2 years ago to this past year, the team has taken a lot of strides in, you know, mentally, just how we played, you know, guys stepping up their games. And, you know, I think that had a lot to do with the fear that he instilled in all of us, me included. And that training camp's going to be the hardest training camp you've ever been through. You're going to have a 2-mile run. You're going to have skate tests. You're going to get bagged after, you know, no pucks for 25, 30 minutes after a hard day's work in the first, like, 10 days, 2 weeks of training camp. And, you know, we all stuck together. We all, you know, lifted each other up. And I think after we kind of licked our wounds there from how hard training camp was, it was like, wow, we can do this. And I thought just our in-shapeness was, you know, kind of a real key early, I think, in the season.
With Scott Hartnell from the Blue Jackets. So you're telling me you had played 1,100 games in the league and John Tortorella scared you going into camp?
Well, yeah. Well, what he says to me is pretty scary. You know, I don't know if I see in the lineup. So, you know, it gives you, motivation this summer to be in the best shape as possible. And, you know, obviously, playing my way into a spot or however you want to say it, but there was definitely a demand on myself to make sure I was in the best shape as possible. So,
well, you got into 78, so I would say you told him where it was at. You must I mean, how gratifying is that when you get challenged and then you go out there and prove you should be in the lineup every night?
Yeah, it was good there. I kind of, you know, got scratched a couple games late, and it was frustrating for me, just kind of the season we had and just how it all went down. But it is what it is, and, you know, just frustrating. We're not still playing right now, and, you know, there's 28 more teams, 29 teams next year that'll wish they'd be playing for the Holy Grail.
Well, we appreciate the insight and the breakdown of your time in Nashville. Enjoy the rest of the offseason. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
There's Scott Hartnell. He said Nashville was a very different scene 10 years ago.
Well, it's come a long way.
Grown a lot.
But it has
so
grown.
So has the team and the organization, for that matter.
But that Broadway area has grown a lot. Like, they've gotten more bars there. They've got food, like, more food places. Like, that is a one-stop shop. You love it. I love it.
I'm a fan.
It's a great city.
I'm embarrassed. A buddy of mine just sent me a tweet saying he's been to 2 bachelor parties in Nashville, and they did the Pedal Tavern. That's what they call it, the Pedal Tavern, both times.
I'll do it. I'll do a Pedal Tavern.
There's a lot of guys coming out of the woods saying, you know what, I've been on that bike bar.
Think of you and, let's say there's 10 of you going down there.
Do you want that work, though? I don't want the work.
Well, no, me neither.
You're worried about a workload. It's not like you have, like, it's not like a workout. Your feet just moving on the thing because everyone just pedals. And it's, I think it's motorized or something underneath there.
Well, I think you've got you got supervision. There's some guy who can actually see straight who's...
Right.
You're biking on the Broadway in Nashville. You're biking around the city.
Right.
You can't have 15 guys who are blind drunk.
That's what I'm telling you. I think it would be a scene. It's not like you're driving it. There's a guy supervising and pouring beer.
Landon texting and saying, I just went on the bike bar 2 weeks ago for my brother's bachelor party. 17 guys. And it was dangerous, to say the least.
It'd be a great time.
A lot of guys, man. Maybe I'm in the minority on this.
Not for me. It's a no guy.
You and I will belly up at the bar, and these guys can
go for a tour and come back
bike
and meet
ride. You would go on a bike ride, Noodles.
I would. I would go on a bike bar, and then you can wave people in. They jump on the bar with you, bring them back. Like, I think it's a...
I'm not sure you could do that, though. I would assume you have to pay for each ticket.
No,
that's a different story. If you're biking down Broadway and you can start calling people onto the bike bar...
I think you could figure out the $10 or whatever it is to get on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the...
Okay.
It's a social way. I'd be fine with it.
And you're starting to sell me a little bit. The idea of it being more of a kind of social atmosphere.
I think the Overdrive bike bar, when the Leafs are in the playoffs next year.
It's a non-gi.
And we roll into Maple Leaf Square on the bike bar.
I don't think they have them in Toronto. I can't remember ever seeing
one. We're going to create our own.
Have you ever seen them in another city besides Nashville?
No, actually. Yeah. I can't say
are they
that
not
I
in
have.
Vegas? No, I just
I'm
saw
sure
one
they
in
are.
Buffalo. There's a wine tour one.
There's a wine tour one?
Well, I thought I just saw somebody tweeted us a picture, and it was in Buffalo.
In Buffalo?
I'm going to go back in my mentions and find it.
Would have been Niagara on the lake or something.
Yeah,
no,
Buffalo's
it's called
not known.
Buffalo Pedal Tours. Right there. Scott sent it in.
That's a non-gi, too.
I'm fine with that. Go and get some wings with that.
Lucky tweeting and saying, I did the bike bar tour in Amsterdam dressed up as superheroes. We had a blast.
Well, I was going to say, and you can...
Amsterdam. Yeah, you probably weren't drinking.
Stoned out of your tree. But it'd be still really fun. I think it'd be fun. I'm telling you.
All right, you're on board.
I'm on it.
If there's one in Chicago, would we do it? Would you do it?
If you guys said yes, I would do it.
We'll find one. Let's check to see if Chicago has a bike bar. And it, right by the water.
But Keith and AK, they got to come too.
That's the thing. We need more people. We need a whole crew.
You're not the only...
We'll get Bobby
other
Mack
people.
And Greg's on.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
We get those guys on, I'll sign up for it. We get Craig Button on there. A couple of other guys who are kicking around.
I'm telling
it's
you.
It's worth it then.
Watch this. We'll get on it. We'll bike right by Lou Lamorello.
Bike and trolley roll Chicago, Navy Pier. Bike and roll Chicago Millennium Park.
Yeah, that's through the park and stuff, though. That's like sightseeing.
But
that's not what you're looking for.
Drinking and having a good time. That's the way I feel.
Do you know how embarrassing that would be if we biked by Shanahan, Lamorello, and Babcock in Chicago?
Why? On the bike bar. Back to their hotel.
I'm telling you right now. This
we're
is,
on the bike
I would quit
bar.
My job, I think.
I think we'd have to quit.
It's in Chicago. Look at it. It's called the Pedal Pub. I'm on it.
All right. Block us in.
I think we could do
we
it.
We have to sign some people up first. Commit.
Yeah, we need more people on board. I can't believe how many people are writing in saying, I've done it.
Yeah. Like, I've never done it, but I've wanted to, and I've seen it in every city. I want to say I saw it last year. I went to a goaltender symposium in Madison, Wisconsin, and there was like a bike bar just rolling through town. People just gooned on it.
I'm not kidding you. When I was in Nashville, I don't remember seeing one guy on the bike bar. It was just bachelorette party after bachelorette party after bachelorette party. That's all it was. 12 girls yelling and screaming, drinking margaritas.
I'm telling
you. Which was fine. I mean, it looked like they were having a good time, but I'm sitting there in the honky-tonk listening to Chicken Fried.
I'm fine with that, too. Believe me. You know I love my live music. I just, if there's a way to do it, we could do both.
All right. We'll investigate.
I'm in.
All right, Steve Phillips will join us ahead of the Jays game tonight. They're coming off a loss last night. J Hap struggling a bit. Justin Smoke hitting his 15th home run. And we'll let you hear what Mike Schmidt had to say. Phillies legend. And it's caused a big stir about whether or not you can build a team around non-English speaking players.
It's a tough one.
Needless to say, there's been some blowback.
Yeah.
We'll let you hear it. We'll discuss it next. Overdrive continues on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVR on TSN 2. If you can't watch the show live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check us out on iTunes. Steve Phillips will join us here in a moment. The Jays coming off a loss last night. Jay Happ got hit early and often, gave up a bunch of runs, but Justin Smoke hit his 15th home run. People are buzzing about that. Donaldson came out before and after the game and said he feels good, feels confident. He's back to form. You would expect him to play every day going forward.
It's good.
Red Sox, Yankees in action tonight. Yet a lot of people are buzzing about what Philly's great Mike Schmidt had to say on WIP Radio earlier this afternoon. Yeah. And we'll get to that in a moment, but let's bring in Steve Phillips, our baseball insider. And it's brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, guys. How are you? Good to be on.
Yeah, thank you for doing this, as always. We're going to get to the Mike Schmidt audio, and we should point out Schmidt has already come out and apologized to Odubel Herrera for his comments on WIP Radio in Philly earlier today. We'll play that in just a little bit, but let's start with the Jays and specifically their staff. Happ got lit up a bit last night. I look at the rotation. With Sanchez not coming back for probably at least a month, I trust Estrada, and I trust Stroman. Beyond that, I'm having a difficult time trusting the other three guys, even though Biagini has done very well considering the circumstance. This was supposed to be their strength coming into the season. How concerned are you with their rotation?
Yeah, I'm concerned about it as well. I mean, they had depth that nobody else really had, and obviously that depth has been challenged with physical issues and problems. And and now Happ coming back, I got to tell you, I still have some concern that this is health related. You know, and a lot of times when guys have shoulder problems like he had, They can come back, or before they go on the DL, their velocity can be where it's been in the past. But it's that last little bit of proprioception, that ability to manipulate the baseball, to release it at the right time, to put it in the right spot. And that is a challenge. And for Hap, that's really the name of the game for him, right? He's not an overpowering guy. He needs to locate his fastball. He needs to work his sequence of pitches. He needs to hit his spots. And if he's not doing that, he's going to pay a price. And because, and as we saw, you know, when he makes a mistake, they hit it out of the ballpark, right? He doesn't, it's not like they're going to foul it back. They're like, you know, they're going to hit it off the end of the bat because he's got some exceptional movement at the end. But he makes a mistake and it's not in the right spot, they can do some damage. And so the thing that turned for him in his career when he went to Pittsburgh was, you know, he got locked in on his delivery, got the outstanding command of his pitches, was able to start throwing it to both sides of the plate. But it was his spotting it that got better. And right now, that's the one thing he doesn't seem to be able to do. And it does make me think it's probably still in some ways related to the shoulder issues that he dealt with going on in the DL. So, you know, it doesn't mean he can't get stronger, but, you know, typically during the season, guys don't always get stronger. Now, it may just be that it's taken some time and he's a little rusty, and we'll see, but it is something to keep an eye on for sure. And for Liriano, he's a bit of a wild card, right? I mean, when he's locked in, he can be aggressive and dominate a lineup, but when he's not, he puts runners on base, he makes mistakes, he makes you know, he'll hit a guy, he'll walk a guy, and then throw one over the plate. It's a 3-run home run. And with some of these teams, the way they slug right now, you know, the home run seems to be common with just about every club out there right now.
Well, and then you look at the bullpen, and they have glued this together. Yet it's been very effective, Jason Grilli notwithstanding. Obviously, we know his struggles. I mean, he gave up 4 home runs in an inning the last time he was out, or at least over the weekend. But they're getting very solid production from Tapera, from Joe Smith. Aaron Loop has been solid for them. Danny Barnes has been very good for them. None of these guys are necessarily household names. Osuna started with some struggles. I think that was due to him beginning the season on the DL, but he's turned back into form. But putting Osuna aside and even taking Grilli out of the mix, the other names I mentioned here, how confident are you that guys like Tapera and Smith and Barnes and Loop can continue at this pace?
Well, you know, I've always thought Loop was kind of the second left-hander in a bullpen, but he's emerged as kind of a lead lefty, and he's done a really nice job for Gibbons and Pete Walker. You know, bullpens are quirky. I mean, it's the area where general managers make their most mistakes. From one year to the next, it's nearly impossible to quantify the impact of innings, appearances. How many times do you warm up and sit down and the impact of all of that? Really tough to gauge it. And I give John Gibbons a ton of credit that really each of the last 3 or 4 years, he's rebuilt the bullpen in season. They've had struggles every year. Remember, Brett Cecil went 0-5 last year in April. So they had to kind of maneuver around that. You know, Biagini started as a Rule 5 guy that pitched only when they were 3 up, 3 runs up, or 3 runs down, and then he emerged and developed into a high-leverage reliever last year and a very important guy. Grilli and Benoit were guys who had struggled in Atlanta and in Seattle, respectively, but he was able to pitch them the way that they needed to. Benoit needed time off between outings. He couldn't pitch every single day. He found the right spots to work guys in, and that's been a real strength of John Gibbons. He deserves a ton of credit for his ability to do that, and he's done it again this year. And so, you know, I think they'll need some fortification as the season progresses, but of all of their issues, that's kind of been the least of them over the last month and a half or so.
With Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, Jays back in action tonight. Estrada on the mound. Jays in Oakland taking on the Athletics. Smoke hit his 15th last night. And we were talking about this earlier in the hour, and we've been discussing this since Donaldson was even on the DL. Donaldson's got 6 on the year. Smoke has 15. If I had to gamble and put money on which one I think will have more home runs at the end of the year, I'm still putting money on Donaldson, partially because he's clearly the better player, and I think he's rounding back into form. But I also can't completely trust Justin Smoke yet. This kind of has a Michael Saunders vibe to it. We know what he did in the first half last year and how it all played out in the second half. If you were using your own money, who do you think will have more home runs by the end of the year, Smoke or Donaldson, considering they're both healthy? Let's pretend like they're both healthy for the remaining 100-plus games.
I'd rather use O-Dog's money, but I'll use mine.
Okay.
So You know, look, I would tend to agree with you, and I think it says more about what I think about Donaldson than it was what I think about Smoke. Justin Smoke's been amazing this year. Like, never would I have predicted this, only because, you know, the best way to predict future performance is to look at past performance. And the thing about Smoke, you know, he hit 20 home runs in a season one time with Seattle. But when you go back and look at the numbers, he was given a lot of opportunities. The batting average never really got there, and he wasn't consistent enough with the contact that he made to be able to be this productive. But he has made some adjustments because he's hit the fastball. He's seeing fewer fastballs. And honestly, I've always looked at him as having more slider bat speed than that good high-octane fastball. But because he hit a few fastballs early, I looked at the numbers, and they backed off the fastball a little bit. He's getting more sliders, which he's hitting well. He's getting more off-speed stuff, which he's doing a better job. The other thing is his numbers are skewed a little bit. Right-handed, he's pounding left-handers this year. As a right-handed hitter, he has really produced driving the baseball with a focus on driving it the other way rather than pulling it, and it's paid dividends for him. So he's made some adjustments, absolutely. The key will be when the league goes back to saying, you know what? I know he hit some of the fastballs, but let's challenge him again up and in. Let's challenge him again with that heater inside and see if he can't catch up to it. That will be the key to see if he can make an adjustment. Donaldson has proven year after year about what we can expect, right? I mean, you know, he's taught us what to expect from him. Smoke has as well, but he has made adjustments, and so I want to give him credit for it. I can't imagine he maintains this pace that he's on, but I still think he's going to be a better hitter the rest of the year than he's been any of the previous years that he's been a Blue Jay.
With Steve Phillips. All right, so Phillies legend Mike Schmidt, who is a color analyst for the Phillies at times for home games on the weekends, I think, which is a pretty sweet gig.
How did he not think that these comments weren't going to, like...
Well, you could tell afterwards he realized that there was going to be blowback because he's already come out. We should point out, he's already come out. He reached out to Odubel Herrera, who's a center fielder in Philly, young guy, Venezuelan. We'll let you hear the clip here in a moment, but this reminds me of Goose Gossage and a couple of the other old school guys talking about the new age player, because Herrera, again, doesn't speak English very well. English is not his first language, and he was asked whether or not the Phillies can build their program around a guy like Herrera, and this is what Schmidt had to say.
My honest answer to that would be no, because of a couple of things. First of all, it's a language barrier, and, you know, because of that, I think he can't be a guy that would, you know, sort of sit in a circle with, you know, four or five American players and talk about the game, you know, or, you know, try and learn about the game or discuss the inner workings of the game, you know, or come over to a guy and say, man, you got to run that ball out, you know, or some, you know, it just can't be, because of the language barrier, that kind of a player.
So that is the most explosive comment. He went on to talk about how he plays the game and he plays with exuberance and how if he played against him, he wouldn't like it because of his antics. I totally disagree with the idea that you can't build around a player who doesn't speak English.
Did he get
first
fired
and foremost? No, he's not going to get fired. I mean, Mike Schmidt's probably the greatest Philly of all time. He's not going to get fired. He's apologized for it. But if he was trying to make the point that this guy, that if you don't speak English, it may be difficult to be the primary leader.
Yeah,
that's not an outrageous comment if 95% of your clubhouse only speaks English and you've got players who don't speak English very well.
Right.
What do you make of the comment and maybe where Schmidt was going or where he meant to go with all this, Steve?
Yeah, at the least it's politically incorrect, you know, for many, and to me to a degree it's very offensive and it's inappropriate. And look, I don't know what he's apologizing for. When you started by saying, look, to be honest with you, like he kind of was telling us what he thought.
Right.
I don't know what he's backtracking on right now. It's not like he hedged it at all or that we misunderstood. That's ridiculous because, you know, there are players from all over the world, right, that are in clubhouses now. It's not exclusive to Americans anymore. And the idea that five guys sit around talking about, sitting there talking about things, ball players talk baseball. They don't talk English or Spanish. They talk baseball. It's not about whether you're from Japan or Korea or anywhere else. Jung Ho Gung came over from Korea for the Pirates. He fit right in because he talked baseball. And players quickly understand how to communicate with each other, the language of the game, the language of the way that you play, professionalism, the expectations, the accountability. And it is. It's very old school, right? It's a very old school notion. Guys today, they don't sit around and play. They're on their phones in the clubhouse. They're not sitting in the clubhouse playing cards anymore and talking about this at that and that at that, drinking beers. They don't do it. They used to, right? Sit around, they drink, they smoke, they stay there all night talking about baseball. Odubel Herrera is an extraordinary talent. He can speak enough English to communicate with everybody on his team. He has relationships with everybody on his team. And some of the best leaders we've seen in baseball today have been foreign-born players. I mean, Ichiro doesn't speak. He always has an interpreter until he speaks to the media. But I tell you what, he teaches his teammates a ton about the game and professionalism. David Ortiz's English wasn't great. Manny wasn't great. But you know what? They impacted the game by the way they went about it, their work ethic, the way they prepared for games, and could call other people out. So I don't, you know, look, I think it's just an old-school guy that sounded like an old guy, right, in a curmudgeon who doesn't quite understand the way the game is today, the way society is today. And it's a mistake at the very least, and I think for many of us it's probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah, again, I don't think he'll get fired. He may. He's a color analyst on the weekends.
I know, but here's an example. I went to Japan, and I played pro hockey over there. I was the best player on the team. I had 800 games in the NHL. Like, I didn't speak Japanese. There was a captain on the team. So, like, I could help the players along by my play, but I couldn't be a captain of that team because I couldn't talk to the guys on the team. Like, I think where Mike Schmidt went wrong is this is politically incorrect for what we believe in today's society. But I don't know if he was actually headed down that path.
Well, if he means you can't build around a guy, you're doing yourself a huge disservice.
Right.
Because you build around whoever is the best player.
Exactly. And
using your Japanese analogy, if you're the best player, they better build around you.
Exactly.
But
see, here, even in Japan, I bet you were able, by a pat on the back or a hand gesture, to be able to get a message across. You're like, let's go. Go get him. Nice job. You know, and that, when you're a great player, when you're a very good player, that has an impact, even without saying a word, on the other players. You're communicating in a way to send encouragement, either nice job, or you can do better. I know you can do better. Go get them.
Right.
And I bet you did that there. And so where you couldn't communicate with your words, you absolutely could have had an impact on the players on the team.
Yeah, it is. I don't think I could be the day-to-day, like, hey, the bus is leaving at this time. Like, because you know how a lot of the leaders in the room will make the decisions from the manager or from whatever. Like, hey, this is, what do the guys want? Do they want the plane to leave at this time? Do you want, like, that stuff I don't think I could handle on a daily basis because I just didn't know the ins and outs of how things work.
Edwin was a pretty good player for the Blue Jays. I don't think he spoke a whole lot of English.
No, well, that's the stupidity of the comment.
That's
to suggest
what
that you would be like, no, this guy can't be our guy. Talent determines who you
build
around.
It's completely non-PC, and the comment is wrong. Bottom line.
But in the room, like, I hear what you're saying.
I mean,
and I don't know if this is where Schmidt was going or not. I can't speak for
him. Right,
right. But if a guy has a difficulty speaking the language that 85% of the players speak,
right,
I could see, Steve, where that would be a barrier in terms of going all the way with what you would expect the conventional captain to do or to bring to a team. And right. I don't think that's outrageous. I think that's just being honest.
Right. But here's the thing is that my experience was when we had a player in our organization, we from the time they signed and came into the organization, from the time they were in the Dominican Summer League, we were teaching them English. By the time they came to the States, we were taking them to grocery stores. We were taking them to, so the teaching and learning of the language is an important part of a player's development. And many players don't like to talk to the media, but they absolutely understand what's being said, and they can have a relationship and carry on conversations with the players. Odubel Herrera is not he's not a player that came in from Japan that came over to play. He's been playing in the United States for a number of years. I promise you, he completely understands what's going on around him. He can communicate in a way with his teammates and players. He's probably not a great interview. He's not. He's not a great interview. He's not a great communicator that way. But when it comes to talking baseball, he can do that, and he does have an impact on it. Now, there are times that they've had to lean on him that he didn't hustle and run balls out. If he was talking about that, Mike Schmidt, I'd say, yeah, you know what? You're right. That there have been times where he needed to be pushed rather than being the guy pushing other people. That's a guy that maybe you don't build around necessarily, but has nothing to do whatsoever with the words that come out of his mouth.
Always appreciate the insight, Steve. We'll do it again next week. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Steve Phillips, our baseball insider, and it's brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
Interesting.
It's an interesting topic. Well, I mean, Schmidt, Steve's right.
Yeah.
But you were being honest, but now he's realizing there's blowback with the honesty, so he wants to get out of the limelight.
You have to be PC in today's world. And, like, that's just the truth. You have to understand what's going on. Steve makes a great point, because if you're just speaking a language of a sport, it doesn't matter what language you speak, you can get across.
But the idea that this would cost him his job seems like a bit of a stretch. I mean, and he's come out, he's spoken to the player, and he's spoken to the Phillies. I mean, this is Mike Schmidt. He won like 3 MVPs.
Yeah.
Maybe their greatest player of all time. I think he'll get some leeway in that city, I would assume. We'll get to the 3 stars, best bets, tee up the Jays game. Keep looking ahead to what should be hopefully an entertaining Game 3 in the NBA Finals tomorrow. Game 5 of the Cup Final in a couple of nights. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we'll get to the 3 stars here in a moment. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Jays getting back on track tonight.
Yeah?
I think I bet on Marco Estrada last time out because I pumped his tires all afternoon and he got lit up. He was an absolute gas can.
Bartle.
Ed Vaseline Harris. But I think he bounces back tonight. And I'm going to take the Red Sox at the Yankees. I think Boston's starting to heat up here. Throw down 20. And you can score 55. You can find my picks on Twitter at Overdrive1050 and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. So no NBA finals tonight, no cup final. Jays start after 10 p.m.
So you can have dinner, relax, and then lay on the couch and watch the Jays play.
That's my plan.
I think it's fine.
That's what I'm going to do.
I always take my time getting home. Groceries, errands, gas, anything.
Right. Take your time. Take it easy.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Get home, relax.
I'm fine with that.
How are we feeling about the cup final right now? I don't feel so confident anymore about Pitt and 7.
Well, you were Pitt and 7. I was Pitt and 6. And what were you? I don't even remember what you were.
Pitt and 4?
Yeah, you were Pitt and 4.
You were feeling real good after 2 games.
I got a feeling Nashville just might run the table here and just pick up the win and Pitt and then go home and just crush.
I wouldn't be shocked if they won in 6. I would be shocked if Pitt won in 6.
I think Matt Murray's got to steal one. Like, I didn't think he was bad last night. People are talking about, would you go to Fleury? No. Like, Murray made 8 really good saves last night. Let's not forget that Philip Forsberg had some real chances. This guy's been snake-bitten. He made some good saves on them, but I just didn't like Pitt's overall game. Defensively, they struggle. I think they struggle in their own zone, and Nashville has said, to hell with this. We are going to go down swinging if we're going to lose, and we are going to be all over them. And right now, they look like the better team.
I give them full credit, man. They played the same way through 4 games,
yep.
And it's been very effective for them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought after they got that 2-1 lead, they really pushed.
They pushed.
And I was impressed with the way they played with the lead, up 3-1.
Yeah, and they didn't sit back.
Yeah, they protected home ice. And I guess that's what we're going to wait to see if the Cavs can do that tomorrow night. I am not feeling as confident that Cleveland walks out of their building after Game 4 with a split 2-2.
Yeah.
Not necessarily feeling great about that. All right, you guys ready for the 3 stars?
Yes.
Overdrive, 3 stars of the day.
First star of the day is my buddy's son, Ruman Nadir, who I played with in Guelph. His son, Malachi. made the under-16 national basketball team. So he is the first
star. The first star. Is that right? Okay.
Well, he said he takes his kid to practice his games. He makes him listen to us.
I remember him.
Rooms?
Yeah. Pretty good player.
Right. Nerd.
Going to give a shout-out to Richard and Mitch, who I met at the UG Underground on the weekend.
Richard and Mitch.
Fans of the show.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
What were they like?
I was out for a few drinks with our buddy Mike Kelly, and they came up and said hello.
MK.
Yep.
How's he doing these days?
He's good. Stats guy. He's good.
He is really into the stats.
He is.
He likes a good stat on Twitter, I've noticed.
He does. He does.
And he likes when other people
he
tweet
likes
about
telling
stats.
Other people to shut up.
No,
too.
He doesn't.
Yeah, so. He does, and he should, because he's right.
He's on top of things.
Yeah. So I'll give a shout out to Mike Kelly, too.
Mike Kelly. Shout out.
The people at Francesca's.
And how about this guy for his birthday?
I'm waiting for a star. Hook me up with a star.
You're a third star.
I'll take
How do you get
star.
Third star on his birthday?
Because Malachi is the first
star. Yeah, okay, give it to Malachi.
Fine. Second star, then, for Brian Hayes. I'll push.
I got
stars. Did you even like the lasagna for $100?
Actually, I thought it was very good. I think mine is better. Mine was better. Would you say mine was better?
Dude, yours is my fave.
Yours was very
yours
good.
Had big chunks of beef in it, which I like.
I take care of business. Yours I'll make another sheet before the end of the month.
Both of them were outstanding.
Before the draft. We need to prep for the draft.
All right, I will. But no, yours was outstanding. Thank you for that. That makes you a star. Noodles, I'll throw you in the stars.
The cupcakes?
Steph.
We got to throw Steph in there.
Steph's not been. She's been really mad at.
Miserable.
This is honestly the first day I've ever worked with Steph where she's like. No. Miserable.
And she's not laughing. She's
no,
she's actually
care.
Really mad.
She's an anti-star.
She's really mad.
We'll give her an anti-star.
D-Day today, too. Those are the real stars, let's be honest. If you storm the beach on D-Day,
agreed.
You are a star. You're the real MVP.
Exactly.
We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.